Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
The public has really been starting to raise a ruckus about this merger. We're seeing more and more news reports say that this is going to be a long, slow process.
We take a look at the media with Josh Stearns of Free Press, freepress.net, and their campaign to stop Comcast's merger with NBC. They say the merger is bad news for the public. The merger would mean Comcast controls the mega MSNBC network to include Bravo, E!, and Universal Pictures. According to Free Press, this also means they can raise prices for competitors, and those price increases get passed on to consumers. Free Press has concerns about fewer choices for consumers, and we all know what that means during election times in this age of billion-dollar presidential races. An ever smaller focus for news and discussion about candidates and about the issues. Josh Stearns, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Dori.
First, why else shouldn't Comcast merge with NBC? And how big an issue is this in general compared with others you've taken on?
We've never really seen media consolidation at this level before. This deal involves so many different kinds of media properties across the internet, across cable, and across broadcast TV, that it is in many ways unheard of, and we're afraid it'll usher in a whole new era of these mega media mergers.
We're also talking about antitrust laws, and that's what Mark Cooper mentions in the report that's on your website, stopbigmedia.com.
That's right. This is really raises some very basic antitrust issues that we need to be concerned about. You can think of this in a number of different ways. For one, this deal would desperately hurt competition in the emerging online video market. So we know that there's all of these new ventures out there to help people watch video online, everything from streaming on Netflix to iTunes to Hulu. And there's a whole bunch of companies out there just beginning to start up. Now, when Comcast gets a hold of both the production and the distribution, so they control, you know, what you see and how you see it, they have a real incentive to try to stop people from using these new online video options because they want people to subscribe to Comcast cable. So it really is anti-competitive in that way. It's also anti-competitive because it hurts other smaller cable providers. Comcast, if they're able to own NBC, can actually change the prices that they charge for NBC content to make it harder for other cable providers, especially small local and regional cable providers, to carry NBC content. And that's a real problem, too, because that means it's going to raise prices for consumers across the country, not just Comcast subscribers.
You're talking about people who might have DirecTV or some other form of watching TV via satellite?
That's right, via satellite, or if they're subscribed to Cox Cable or Charter Cable or one of these other companies, as well as smaller cable companies like RCN and WOW, around the company who are smaller regional community-based cable systems. This is a real threat to them because now that having one major company owns they'll be owning some of the most popular television stations on the dial, both broadcast stations in terms of NBC broadcast content like 30 Rock and other shows, and then also things like USA Network and Bravo. All will be housed under Comcast purview, and they'll really be able to control who has access to all those shows and stations and what price people have to charge to get it.
And in terms of specialty programs, NBC, famous for sports. Let's go there for a minute, because I know we're talking about the 2010 Olympics. That's mentioned, too, by Mark Cooper. But within that context, I mean, users are only going to be able to log on to watch video of the Olympics or, let's say, other sporting events if they subscribe to a pay TV service?
Well, yeah, you and your listeners might remember that the last round of Olympics that was held on NBC, NBC invested incredible amounts on mobile video so people could watch things on their cell phones, on online video, and they raved about the number of people who were watching this stuff online. Now, we can imagine a situation where the next time the Olympics come around, you might have to be subscribed to Comcast cable and internet service if you want to watch NBC programming online. We haven't seen the details of the deal yet enough to really understand how that's going to work, but that's a real possibility. Or if you want to watch 30 Rock online, you missed it the night before, you want to get online the next day and watch the episode, if you're subscribed to Verizon Internet or to Cox Cable, you might not be able to watch that. online. You know, Comcast has this system, TV Everywhere, that they're beginning to roll out that actually authenticates who you subscribe to in terms of cable and internet, and they can control what you can see online.
Now, in what way does this limit competition between Comcast and NBC as they merge and other forms of media that, let's say, you know, sometimes are more inclusive of independent voices? I'm talking about radio broadcasts, internet radio, that type of thing. Does that have an impact on that realm?
Well, you can imagine that with Comcast now owning NBC programming, you have a whole bunch of internet cable channels that used to compete against each other, which are now all going to be under one umbrella. So that instantly takes away a good bit of competition. But then on top of that, Comcast, you know, is a distributor over internet, is a distributor over cable, and now when they buy NBC, will be a distributor over broadcast. And they'll have a real incentive to push their programming, NBC programming, or, you know, other Comcast programming. And when they do that, they're going to be doing it at the cost of local voices, independent voices, and diverse voices. So all of these other forms of programming are going to get pushed to other channels and get pushed, you know, off the airwaves and be harder to access online, because Comcast is likely going to be really pushing their own content over these other forms. And so that could really impact other forms of media that you described, and really raises, starts to raise net neutrality issues, which is an issue I know you've covered on your show before. But this problem that, you know, you're pushing certain content over others and making it harder to get to the really independent voices on the internet and on the dial.
And that's because people have to pay to download, right?
That's part of it, but it's also related to just the nature of having one company own. You know, it used to be, if you didn't like what you saw on TV, you could go on the internet. Or if you weren't finding what you needed on the internet, you could go to the radio. But now what we're seeing is this vertical integration where one company owns just about every means of distribution, especially in some communities like New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Boston, and a number of others, where the main broadcast station is an NBC-owned and operated station, which is now going to be owned by Comcast. And those communities are also served by Comcast cable and internet. In those communities, it's going to be one company with an enormous megaphone and basically controlling how people access media in a very large and worrisome way.
You're listening to Talk Nation Radio, and we're speaking with Josh Stearns of Free Press, where they're conducting an uprising against what they're calling a mega merger in media power, working to get President Obama to make good on a campaign pledge to act against an excess of power in the hands of any one corporation, interest, or small group. Let's listen to President Obama speaking in 2008 about the importance of a diverse media. This from the Free Press website.
What I've said is that I'm committed to having the FCC review what our current policies are in terms of media diversification. And part of what I want to do is to expand the diversity of voices in media, or have policies that encourage that, taking into account that the nature of our media itself is changing so rapidly that the most important thing we can probably do is to preserve the diversity that's emerging through the internet.
Facebook, MySpace, all those, Google, might not have been started if you had not had a level playing field for whoever's got the best idea. And I want to maintain that basic principle in how the internet functions. And so as president, I'm going to make sure that that is the principle that my FCC commissioners are applying as we move forward.
And as president, I intend to work with you to write the next chapter in the story of American innovation. And that starts with an open internet. I will take a backseat to no one in my commitment to network neutrality. Because once providers start to privilege some applications or websites over others, then the smaller voices get squeezed out and we all lose. And the internet is perhaps the most open network in history, and we have to keep it that way.
That, of course, President Obama speaking in 2008. Josh Stearns, should he be making this more of a priority? I mean, we all know the president is working on many fronts right now.
Well, this is really, I think, a test for the Obama administration when it comes to both media issues and antitrust issues. Yeah, as you heard in that clip, President Obama had, during the campaign, came out strongly in favor of reinvigorating antitrust enforcement, as well as very strong statements about the importance of media diversity and really diversifying the voices on the airwaves. So with these promises in place, this becomes a litmus test to see what sorts of activities and actions his administration will take across the different agencies and from the executive office itself. So we are looking to him and to his agencies to make bold moves against this merger and to really take a hard look about how this is going to impact communities, consumers, and citizens. So far, what we're seeing is that in Washington and on Wall Street, people assume this is a done deal. And what we haven't heard yet is the voice of the public. And that's what we're doing at freepress.net/Comcast, where we are, as you described, sparking an uprising around the country. People are furious about this merger, and we want to make sure their voice is heard in Washington, D.C.
Josh Stearns, I want to talk about news media now. What would you grade media coverage as far as President Obama's first year in office? There has been a lot going on. How has the news media been doing?
It's an interesting question. I feel like every time people have sort of talked about President Obama's campaign and his first year in office, it invariably turns back around to the role the media has played. And I think it's really important that as media organizations, we're looking at the role of the media in government. What I think I've seen is that in many sectors of corporate media where the drive for profits, especially in this time of a recession, has absolutely gutted newsrooms, we've seen a sort of active stenography instead of a real investigative reporting. So over and over and over again, we hear sort of, here's what the White House said, here's what the liberals said, here's what the conservatives said, here's this, here's that. And that sort of real basic fact-telling rather than true analysis and true digging never gets us past the spin. And so what we end up doing is we end up having battles of talking heads rather than real analysis and a real conversation. One of the things I was most struck by yesterday, I was flying home from Washington, D.C., and I was just blown away by the amount of coverage being dedicated to Tiger Woods and the lack of coverage being dedicated to the president's speech. We just really desperately need the media to step up and help foster conversation, help us really get down to the nitty-gritty with issues of war and healthcare and the environment that are so much on the forefront of the issues facing our country right now. We desperately need better media to be acting in our best interest.
Now, one big concern, of course, with all of this is, you know, you want to cultivate better media. And I know NPR featured someone from Free Press talking about Comcast and the NBC merger. So it's not all bad. But in the sense that you're discussing the president's speech, we're talking about the escalation of a war. It's a very serious topic. And I listened to NPR's coverage and was pretty surprised, really, to find that they had a guest on, Bing West. He's a military guy who marketed training videos and actually went to Fallujah, Iraq, to help rev up soldiers for an attack there. That attack marked a turning point in the Iraq war. And many Iraqi civilians who had not supported the resistance did so after the U.S. military's heavy-handed siege of Fallujah in 2004. Now, we were hearing the grim details on the civilian casualties in Fallujah, Iraq, from Dar Jamail, and his voice just not getting out to the corporate press at all. So it was really up to the community radio people and to, you know, stations within the Pacifica family, you know, Democracy Now! Eventually getting Dar on and other people to talk about what really happened in Fallujah. And yet that story still has not made it into the mainstream or NPR. And so here we have Bing West. So what about this lack of diversity in guests as it applies to war and NPR's coverage?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think it's not just NPR, but it's across the sort of, I would say, the very large media spectrum. I won't limit it to necessarily in this case to corporate media, but when you get very large national media organizations that are removed from local communities, one of the things that you see is that they need to tap into the people who are around them to have commentators, to have, you know, professional opinions from spokespeople and that sort of thing. And the people who are around them are the people who are trained and deployed to be around them. So we really saw a lot of problems with the, you know, Washington Defense Department propaganda machine pushing out former military personnel to be spokespeople, and they had talking points that were given to them directly by the Department of Defense that, you know, was never disclosed in the media. And so what we need really is for media to be challenged by the public and challenged by other media organizations to look beyond those easy targets. We need media. And one of the things that's really interesting, Dori, is that you know, we see in community media, and I would say increasingly, there's an amazing project by American Public Media out of Minnesota called Public Insight Journalism, where they're compiling a database of, you might call them civic experts. They're just local community people. They're just average Joes, you know, who have stepped up to say, if you're going to do a story on X, I know something about that. Please come talk to me. And in doing so, in compiling that sort of citizen database, they're realizing that expertise comes not just from experts, but from everyday experience. And it's really helping them build more community involvement. And what I would love to see them do is to work with community media, TV and radio, and independent media like Pacifica stations to really begin to expand that database and to work together on really amplifying the community's voice and thinking about expertise in new ways.
Well, Americans can now log on, upload audio, upload video, use YouTube, put things on Facebook. There's a real opportunity, as long as we have net neutrality, for people to do exactly what you're talking about, citizen journalism, really, or at least sharing their opinion. And unfortunately, what I've been noticing is that a lot of the networks, as far as, you know, television news, they turn to YouTube and other web outlets for stories on pets or for stories on fashion or someone's opinion on some candidate, but they very seldom will use the kind of programming that we're able to use as community radio people who want to know what's going on and are able to find somebody actually in a part of the world that we're covering.
That's right. And one of the things in thinking about the sort of the democratic potential of the internet, in addition to net neutrality, we need to be thinking about and working on is the issue of broadband access. With, you know, 40% roughly of America still disconnected from broadband access, we need to be working hard on that. And, you know, we're working with the FCC to make sure that the public interest is represented as we begin to deploy broadband out across America even farther. But I think your point about where people are going to get content off the internet, why are they getting, you know, cats on skateboards and not the last great speech by some professor who really knows a lot about the Israeli-Palestine conflict, or, you know, grabbing a clip from community media. One of the most encouraging things I've seen is some new collaborations amongst independent and community media outlets, like the new investigative news network that's made up of all these nonprofit news ventures that are getting together, and their content's going to be featured actually on the AP. So it's a way of bubbling content up out of the grassroots into mainstream media. Another one is the Media Consortium, which is doing a lot of really incredible work to try to connect and leverage community media efforts and independent media efforts to make those stories go even further and be amplified even louder. So I think that there's a lot of really encouraging things happening, but we really need to be connecting those dots.
So AP, Associated Press, their website for that content available to average people?
I believe it is, yeah. I would need to do a little bit more research on that, but my understanding is that the same way that AP content is distributed through mainstream newspapers and news radio and other news organizations, this grassroots nonprofit journalism will be available through that as well. It's brand new. It was just announced a little while ago, but it's a very exciting development.
Well, as I say, a lot of good opportunity out there. People can blog some of the NPR programs. They can start blogging some of these network programs and, you know, really asserting themselves into the process rather than just accepting the fact that, you know, they're not being sought out and that diversity is not really being embraced still. Let's talk finally about your campaign and what listeners can do. I know you're turning to various government agencies, FTC, FCC, Department of Justice. Let's go through the process first of the challenge and how you're going to approach this, and then what people can do if they'd like to support you.
Sure. Well, if you look back even a week ago, you'll see that the news reports about this basically just assumed that this deal would easily fly through Washington. And now, because the public has really been starting to raise a ruckus about this merger, we're seeing more and more news reports say that this is going to be a long, slow process and that's going to get heavy regulatory review from the government. So the public outcry is already starting to shift the debate, and what we need to do is to expand on that. So we need people who are listening to really raise awareness about this issue, and you can find a whole lot of facts about this issue at freepress.net/Comcast. So reach out to your friends, reach out to your family, educate others, and then take action. We have an action page. It's a call to action for, as you said, President Obama and a number of his agencies, and we're going to be hand-delivering those petitions to the people who matter in Washington, D.C., to our decision makers, so that we make sure that the voice of the public is right up there next to the voice of NBC lobbyists and Comcast lobbyists, who we know are going to be filling Washington, D.C. before this deal is done. And we need to make sure the public is right there next to them.
Josh Stearns, just explain a little more about Free Press, because listeners may have a wide variety of interests, everything from politics, whether it's Democrat, Republican, or Green, or Independent, or other party like Libertarian, or it's a topic. I know there are 1,000 people that will be holding a Gaza Freedom March in December in Gaza, 1,000 people marching there. And they're hoping that, you know, people who can't be there will work from the United States and Europe to sort of get the word out about what they're doing via blogs and every other opportunity to use media. But talk about the policies of Free Press so people will understand if they do want to support you but don't quite know what you're doing.
Well, Free Press is a national nonpartisan media reform organization. We really just try to be the eyes and ears of the public in Washington, D.C. and around the country so that we can help local people get involved in the media policy decisions that shape everything we see, read, and hear. So we work on issues like the Comcast NBC case and media consolidation in all of its forms. And we really have worked hard to stand up against media consolidation as it's moved through the industry. We also work at the same time on fostering quality journalism and the future of what news and information gets to our communities and how it gets to our communities. So we're supporting legislation that would empower a new era of in-depth investigative reporting and high-quality journalism around the country. In addition to that, as I mentioned before, the future of the Internet is a core issue that we're working on. So issues like net neutrality and how we access content on the Internet, as well as who has access to the Internet and bridging the digital divide, is a core part of our work. But those two pieces, while they're vital, there's a third, and that is the issue that you and I have been talking a bit about now, which is public and community media. So in addition to being concerned about the future of the Internet and media consolidation, we need to make sure that we have a vibrant, alternative, non-commercial media system in America. So we're working to make sure that NPR and PBS are fully funded, and to make sure that they're creating the kind of content communities need. We're also working to support low-power FM community radio stations and other forms of independent media. And then finally, we're looking really hard at how we can build and strengthen public and community access television stations as well, because we know that that's a vital place where independent, diverse community voices are heard. So those are the vast sort of array of issues Free Press works on. We produce reports and research. We do a lot of public education, and we work in grassroots organizing and in Washington, D.C. to lobby and be sure that the public's voice is heard.
In your campaigns about net neutrality, you have taken on the FCC frequently. In addition to your campaign of letter writing to the president on things like net neutrality and diversity in media, talk about what is going on at the FCC level and what listeners need to be paying attention to there.
Sure. I mean, I think that there's three really important things happening at the FCC right now. One is around the future of the Internet, and that is this debate over net neutrality. For the first time, we've seen the FCC move actively towards trying to ensure freedom of speech online. And we really need to be supporting net neutrality. And people can write in right now. If you go to savetheinternet.com, you can write into the FCC and weigh in on your thoughts about freedom of speech online. At the same time, they're also planning a national broadband plan to help connect people across America to high-speed internet. And so they're looking for feedback on that national broadband plan as well. At the same time, they're working on the future of journalism and media as well. They just hired somebody to run a new initiative, a year-long initiative, on the state of media in America, which is a very broad topic, but they're very interested in how are we being served by local news on our broadcast stations. Are broadcasters really living up to their commitment to serve the public interest? So they're going to be looking at that. And just around the corner in 2010, they're going to be starting their new review of media ownership rules. So that's been a key thing we've worked on with our Stop Big Media campaign at stopbigmedia.com, is looking at who owns the media, how can we diversify that media ownership and make it more local and more independent. So those are all things to keep an eye on at the FCC, and you can find details about all of that at freepress.net.
Finally, just remind us of some of the victories that have been won through Free Press and the efforts of others working on the same issues, because I know there have been some pretty big victories over the years.
It really has been incredible. Free Press is only about 6 years old. We got started in 2003 when then FCC Chairman Michael Powell, Colin Powell's son, was trying to basically destroy and got all of the media ownership rules, opening up media consolidation to whoever the highest bidder was. And we could imagine what our media system would be like now if that happened. But over 3 million people took action to stop that. People on the right, people on the left. We had the Christian Coalition and the Gun Owners of America working side by side with Move On and ACLU and Free Press to stop that from happening. And the Senate voted against it, and the courts have thrown it out. So the same thing happened in 2007, and we were again able to have the Senate vote against it, and it's being hung up in the courts now as well. And it's really important to note that all of the work that Free Press does is done in coalition with hundreds of amazing local and national organizations on the right and left, and those coalitions are vital to us. In 2006, we also stopped a really terrible internet bill that was basically written by AT&T and Verizon that would have ended the whole idea of net neutrality and freedom of speech online. And right now, I mean, things that we're seeing happening at the FCC, like the National Broadband Plan and their move towards net neutrality, are very much due to the fact that Free Press and other organizations have been helping give the public a seat at the table in Washington, D.C. We're making sure that the public's voice is being heard and that the public interest is being recognized as a vital part of D.C. politics now.
Just talk about what the Consumer Federation of America, why that stamp is on one of the reports on Free Press, and talk about who supports you, where you get your research funding, and so on.
Consumers Federation of America is one of our great allies who we've worked really closely with on a number of research projects. You know, many of our issues, while they're citizen issues and they're related to the future of our democracy, are also very much pocketbook issues and consumer issues. So we've worked with a number of consumer organizations like Consumers Union and Consumer Federation of America. Those are vital allies for us, and so they help us with research, they help us with our grassroots organizing, and we work side by side with them on all these issues. In terms of where we get our funding, we don't take any money from government or corporate industry groups. So all of our funding comes from people across the country and from foundations like the Ford Foundation, the Knight Foundation, the Park Foundation, and others. So we're entirely funded by foundations and people like you.
Josh Stearns, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us about yet another important challenge for Free Press and the American people.
Well, thanks, Dorian. I invite anybody to check out our website at freepress.net where you can make a donation or just find out more about our issues.
We've been speaking with Josh Stearns, program manager at Free Press, and we'll link to some of the web locations he mentioned, Media Consortium and Public Insight Journalism. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program is produced in Storrs, Connecticut. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions. TalkNationRadio@gmail.com if you'd like to write to us, and look for us on Twitter and Facebook.